that I speak and the words that you hear be Christ's words. Amen. Have a seat, everyone. So this is not an easy gospel to read. Like when Jesus is talking. And we're going to unpack it a little bit. But first I want to ask you a story. I want to ask you something. Like, do you remember when you were little and you're out playing in the yard? I mean, that's when people didn't have computers, so you're out playing in the yard. And your mother would bring you in and say, before you can eat, David, wash your hands. Wash your hands, right? And if you didn't wash your hands, what happened? You didn't eat, right? Yeah. Well, what's interesting about our gospel reading is there's something that happens before it that's referenced in it that starts this whole conversation going. And it's actually a very pivotal gospel in Matthew's text, because it marks a shift in the gospel from Jesus' ministry to the children of God, the Israelites, to the wider world. So the first 10 verses of Matthew's gospel is a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees and scribes. And they're upset because Jesus' disciples are not washing their hands before they eat. Okay, so what you got to know about the Pharisees and scribes is they were sort of the protectors of Jewish tradition and Jewish custom in the area. So they made sure everyone followed the 613 or 616, I can't remember how many it is, but the laws in the Hebrew Bible that you were supposed to follow. Now, most of those laws were purity laws. They were laws that you were supposed to do and participate in order to make sure that your outside remained clean, because their thoughts were that if you worked hard to keep your outside pure and clean, that the inside would become acceptable to God. That's the concept that's in the first 10 verses of Matthew. And it's that in this gospel that Jesus is actually upsetting. So we got two things going on in the gospel. So the first part, we've got the response to this conversation between the Pharisees and scribes and Jesus, and his disciples are saying, you know, what's going on here? And what Jesus is telling them is it's not the outside stuff. It's not these traditions of washing your hands and all these other purity codes that are going to save you. Church doesn't have a purity code. Our church is more like a hospital than it is something like an operating room, spick and span and whatever. So you got to remember that the community at the time that Matthew was speaking to was a bunch of Jewish Christians. They had been expelled from the synagogues, so the Jews didn't want them around. They started having some Gentiles, people who weren't Jews, that wanted to become part of their community, and they were trying to figure out who's in and who's out of the community. And they're also trying to figure out is how broad is this message to be? Like, who is it for that Jesus is talking about? And how great is God's grace? These are big questions for them. Like, do we keep our community small, or are we supposed to include everyone? So when the disciples are asking Jesus about what the Pharisees said, first thing that Jesus tells them is, it isn't how clean you are on the outside that makes sure that your heart is pure. You can measure how clean you are on the outside by what comes out. Like, it's what's in here, in your heart, that you speak through your words that reveals what's inside. It's your actions and words that will reveal. And there's nothing we can do to make ourselves good enough for God. Nothing we can do. So this whole idea of the purity code, like, the church is not a purity code. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves clean enough to be good enough for God. It's through God's grace that he welcomes us and brings us in. So that sets the stage for the second part. The second part of the gospel is the one that I really have trouble with, and that's when Jesus compares the Canaanite woman to a dog. Now, you've got to understand that, like, the Israelites and the Canaanites, well, they were like chalk and cheese. When the Israelites came into the Promised Land, God instructed them to have no mercy for the Canaanites. And the Canaanites, their worship for their and their gods were considered an abomination by the Jews. So these people were like the worst possible enemies of God and Israelites. So now you've got the worst possible enemy coming up to Jesus and calling him Son of David and begging for mercy. And what's happening in this text is that first, what we hear is the disciples. First, Jesus doesn't say anything. Then the disciples say, like, get her away. Like, this is not someone we want to associate with. We don't want this woman in our community. We don't want her around. And then Jesus reiterates, I was sent to preach to the people of Israel, for God's chosen people. That was the understanding of Matthew's community when the Jewish community when Jesus first came, that he was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He was a continuation of a journey that the Israelites and the Jewish people had been taking since we read about in Genesis to be the light to the world. And Jesus was supposed to interpret the law and the prophets and the traditions that the Jewish people had. So that first part of the conversation that they're having about the Canaanite woman goes according to plan. Like, Jesus doesn't really talk to her. He kind of ignores her. The disciples, they just say, get rid of her. But it all changes with what the Canaanite woman says. And she reveals that she's not on the outside. She's not an enemy. She's actually a believer when she says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what happens after that is Jesus heals her daughter, and we have a change in the whole focus of Jesus' ministry now from a ministry to the Jews to a ministry to the whole world. And we know that because at the end of Matthew's gospel, we have the Great Commission, where the church is instructed to go out and make disciples of all nations. So it's a progression in our gospel. So the part we didn't read, which is about the purity codes and the laws and everything that the Pharisees and scribes are expecting the Jews to do, then you've got the question from the disciples saying, and the crowd, and heard by the crowds that are around them, saying, what's this all about, this conversation about purity codes? And Jesus saying, those things are not what's important. It's not what's important. It's what's in your heart that's important. That's what God wants us to know, is that it's our faith that Christ in us will help us, and then what comes out, what we see in terms of our reactions and how we live and what we do, that's the real measure of our relationship with God, not something that we can do on our own. And then he caps it all off by taking, Matthew shows us that even a Canaanite woman, that in the past would have been considered an enemy and not even worthy of being talked about, would be part of this new community of God that Jesus is creating. And what's interesting is, you know, only crumbs from the table are going to be good enough. Like it's amazing what the power of Jesus is. The crumbs from the table are going to be good enough for this broad community. And what this message encourages us to do here is to take a look at our traditions. What are the things that we're doing? What things do we insist upon that may perhaps be something of us and not of God? Who is in and who is out of our, not just our circle of friends, but the people that we consider community, our family, our broader family? Who's in and who's out? These are not decisions that we make. These are decisions for God to make, who's in and who's out. And you know what? Everyone's in. Everyone's in. Jesus' message is for everyone. And it's not for us to limit it to a select few. And that, you know, when in your life you might come up to someone who might remind you of that Canaanite woman, we need to remember these people that we might want to exclude, God includes. And this is one of the challenges in the gospel when we read it, is that so often the people on the inside who think they have that special connection, the four-lane highway to heaven, and look at the other side of the fence and say, oh, those people, yeah, if they only did this or that or whatever, it would be, they'd be able to get on our highway. We don't even realize that out there, that's where God is. He's out there. They're already part of that community that we think that they're not part of. So what we need, what I think this text is calling us to do is to take a serious look at what we're doing, why we're doing it, and to focus what we do in the future on where God wants us to be. And that is the culmination of a week's worth of contemplation on a text that really stumped me when I first read it on Monday. So I hope that's been helpful for you. Amen. And I didn't even use my text. Anyway, there we go.